Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Tzadi Vavam and Aleph by the Mishnah. In order to understand the Mishnah, we just have to have a background of the scenario that's here. It's something that we discussed earlier in the Masechta. But here's a case where an individual is married to two wives. He's married to wife number one, has a daughter named Sarah. Marries wife number two, and has a daughter named Rivka. After he passes away, wife number two marries another man. That man is married to this woman number two, as well as he has another wife, woman number three. From woman number two, he has a daughter, Rachel. And from woman number three, his other wife, he has a daughter, Leah. Then he also passes away. And his second wife, woman number three, marries a third man. And through that, they have a daughter named Tzipora. So over here, you have five daughters that are born. Each daughter shares one common parent with the next daughter. So Sarah, who is the first daughter, shares a common father with Rivka. Rivka, who is the second daughter here, shares a common mother with Rachel, who is the next daughter, is born of the same mother, but different fathers. Rachel shares a common father with daughter number four, Leah. And Leah herself shares a common mother with the fifth daughter, Tzipora. Now with that background, we can better understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Amru lo, meita ishtecha. Your wife passed away. And he marries her sister, but a sister that shares a common father. So he was married to Sarah, and after being married to Sarah, and he's told that she passed away, he marries Rivka, her sister, through the father, which is allowed, because they're only arayot bechaya, when she's alive. But now that she's passed away, he can marry that sister. Meita, he gets word also that his second wife, Rivka, passed away. And he marries Rivka's sister, but the one that shares a common mother. So he marries Rachel, who shares a common mother with Rivka, but has nothing in common with Sarah. Meita. He also gets wind or rumor that his third wife passed away, Rachel. And then he marries Leah, who shares a common father with Rachel. Meita. Then he gets word that Leah, his fourth wife, passed away. And v'nasachu tamima, and he marries Leah's sister, but a sister that shares a common mother, Tzipora. V'nimtzu kulan kayamot. And then in the end, they all show up. He's been told along the way that each one of them had passed away. In the end, it turns out that they are all alive. Mutar berishona, ubishlishit b'chamishit. He can stay married to the first wife, the third wife, and the fifth wife. That is because the first wife and the third wife have no common parent. They are not related whatsoever. And same thing with the third wife to the fifth wife, they're not related at all. They share no common parent. Even though they have a half-sister in common, that half-sister from 1 to 3 and 3 to 5 is a half-sister from different parents. And that's why they have no relationship. Therefore, 1, 3, and 5 are permissible to him, because those are proper marriages, even if they had been around. Even without any death of his wife, all of those marriages would have been fine. And therefore, potrot sarutahen. If they perform yibum after his passing away, they will discharge any other co-wives in that situation. V'asur b'shnia u'revi'it. On the other hand, but wife number two and wife number four, he may not be married to them, because in that case, they are sisters, and they were sisters b'chaya, when their sister was alive, and he wasn't allowed to marry them. Therefore, their marriage was not a marriage, but rather znut. And since it's znut, he's not married to them. But that's also what allows him to marry the third woman, is because the second woman he was never married to. And since the second and fourth woman he's never married to, 1, 3, and 5 are considered to be wives. And then again, if yibum is performed with any of these women, 2 and 4, they don't have any bearing on the other co-wives, because they are not real wives to the husband here. If the news about the first wife passing away was actually true, and therefore when he married wife number two and had bia with her, that was a consummation of a real marriage. Again, it could be that the news was real, or even if the news wasn't true, he only finds out later that the news wasn't true. In the meantime, he does have bi'ah with this woman after his first wife had passed away. Then, mutar b'shnia u'revi'it. Then the second woman he married rightfully, because his first wife was already passed away, her sister. Since her sister already passed away, it was mutar to be with wife number two. And therefore, wife number two is a good wife. Wife number three cannot be a wife, because they are half-sisters. Wife number four will be fine because they have no common parent. Wife number five will be problematic since wife number four is a good wife. And therefore he's mutar b'shnia u'revi'it. Upotrot tsarutam. Again, they, if they're up for Ibum, they are real, his real wives, and therefore they will discharge their other co-wives. Basurbish lishit v'chamishit. And in wife number 3 and 5, you will be restricted because those are half-sisters to wife number 2 and wife number 4. Vein biyat achad mehem poteret tsarata. And obviously, forming Ibum or having biyat with either of these women will not discharge the other co-wives because they're not real wives of this husband. Ben teisha shanim v'yom echad. A boy who is 9 years and 1 day old, who posel yedeachim v'achin poslin al yado, he can wreck the yivama for the other brothers, and the other brothers can wreck it for him, meaning that they have the ability to cause problems for each other in the process of yibum. Ella who posel tchila, he's only able to disqualify the woman in the beginning of the process. V'achin poslin tchila v'sof, whereas the other brothers can cause this problem both in the beginning or even later on in the process. Ketzad, what's an example of this? The Gemara will make this into a chasurei mechsera, so I'm not going to attempt to explain it right now. We'll see in the Havamin of the Gemara as well as the Maskana how the Gemara read this. Ketzad, what's an example of this? Ben teisha shonim v'yom echad shebal yivimto, a boy who is of the age of 9 years and 1 day, if he has bi'ah with his yivama, pasal yidei achim, he now disqualifies her from performing yibum with any of the other brothers. Boale achim, if any of the other brothers had bi'ah with this woman, this yivama, vasuba mamar, or they performed mamar with her. Oh, na get, or they gave her a get, oh, chaltzu, or they did chalitza with her, even after this 9-year-old in 1 day already had bi'ah with her, had done anything else with her. Nevertheless, poslin ayado, they wreck it for that minor who had bi'ah with her because their actions are effective in ruining it for the other brother. Now, something to know about a 9-year-old in 1 day. A 9-year-old in 1 day, as far as being of age, he's not of age yet. 13 is being of age. He's still considered to be a katan. On the other hand, the Torah is magdir, his bi'ah, his intercourse as being real intercourse. And therefore, if one of the arayot, for instance, a woman who is already of age, has a relationship with this young man who is an erva, then he's not culpable because he's not of age. But she will be held culpable because she is of age. And since his bi'ah is a good bi'ah, therefore it's considered to be a problematic relationship. So his bi'ah has effectiveness, in a sense, it's of ahead of his abilities maturity-wise, or his intellectual capabilities. So he's not considered to be of age until he hits 13. But now his intercourse does have impact for the other party. And the same is true here by the yibum. He can't perform yibum because he's not of age yet. But his bi'ah does have an impact in the yibum process, and that is, we'll see here in the Gemara, his yibum itself might be a prelude to him consummating the process of yibum, or it might cause problems for the other brothers because he can't consummate it. Now Gemara says, Atu kulu lav achar mitat rishona ninhu. How do you explain the Mishnah? Didn't all of these marriages take place after the first wife had passed away? Gemara says, Amar v'shesh achar mitat rishona vadai. Not like the other cases where he thought she had passed away. That piece of the Mishnah which says that he had bi'ah with the second woman after the first woman had died. All the cases here were after the first woman died, but they thought she had died, and then they find out she hadn't. In the second case in the Mishnah, we know for certain that she died. She definitely died, and now he had bi'ah with the second wife after she died. Then that consummates the second marriage, because that's a legal marriage then. And that's why number 2 and 4 are permissible, whereas 3 and 5 are not permissible in that case. Now the Gemara moves on to the latter half of the Mishnah. Ben teisha shanim v'yom echad. Ben teisha shanim v'yom echad. Tchila pasil. Besof lo pasil. That's what our Mishnah says. That a child who's 9 years and 1 day, only in the beginning causes a problem and not afterwards. V'hatani rab zvid b'rabbi Yoshaya. Don't we have a bright thought that suggests that this is not the case, which is Hosem amar b'vimto. V'achar kach ba'achiv shu ben tef shanim v'yom echad aleha. If a gadol, a regular brother, performs mamar with the yivama, and then before he consummates the yibum, his younger brother, the one who's 9 years and 1 day, comes along and has bi'ah with the yivama, pasla, he ruins it for his brother, the one who had performed mamar with his yivama. But here you see here that there's bi'ah, not just in tchila, not just in the beginning, but a bi'ah in the middle also affects the other brothers. So why does our Mishnah say that bi'ah only is impactful from a 9-year-old in 1 day in the beginning? Over here you see from the bright that it's even impactful in the middle. So Amrei, bi'ah pasil afilu bisof. You're right. When it comes to intercourse, a 9-year-old in one day affects whether he does the bia in the beginning or whether he does it after one of the other brothers has acted with this woman. Mamar, on the other hand, mamar, which is kiddushim midrabanan with the yivama, tchila pasil, only if he does that in the beginning does it have impact. Besof lo pasil, but after that point it has no impact. Ubiya afilu besof pasil. How could it be that bia, even at the end, is posel? Our Mishnah says explicitly that that's not the case. Vatani, elishahu posel tchila. Our Mishnah says that he is only, the ben teisha shanim yom echad is posel in the end. Vehein tchila besof. The other brother is going to affect in the beginning or in the end. Ketzad. And then the Mishnah goes on to give the example of bein teisha shanim yom echad shubali vimtol. So you see that the Mishnah is talking about bia, and our Mishnah says that it only works in the beginning. So how are you going to reconcile between that and the braita that we just brought? It says chasurei mechsera. Our Mishnah is missing some words here in the interim, the transition words between the stated halacha and the example that's brought. And that is v'achiktani. This is what's meant in the Mishnah. Ben teisha shanim yom echad hu posel tchila, vein poslim tchila v'sof. When it comes to a ben teisha shanim yom echad, he only has impact on the yivama if he acts first. If he acts first, then he can ruin it for the other brothers. But he doesn't act first, then he can't have impact on the other brothers. Whereas the other brothers can have impact on him, whether they act in the beginning or they act after he has acted. Bamed dvarim amurim, when is that true? B'ma'amar. That's talking about ma'amar b'kiddushin d'rabanan. Because the katan does not have kiddushin really mid'rabanan. He doesn't really have ma'amar mid'rabanan because he's not of age. So he's unable to create kiddushin. Yet, if he acts first, then already his kiddushin ruin it for the other brothers, even though his kiddushin are really not so effective. On the other hand, if the other brothers acted first, and then this younger brother, this 9-year-old in one day, goes ahead and performs mamar, after, say, one of the older brothers performed mamar, that won't have any impact, because his mamar, vis-a-vis his brother's mamar, is considered to be as if it is nothing. So therefore, in tchila, he can cause a problem, but so if he can't cause a problem. That's not true of an older brother. An older brother who performs mamar in the beginning, he can then disqualify this woman from all the other brothers. Or, if the katan performed mamar, and then one of the other brothers, who's a gadol, comes to perform mamar after it, he will also ruin it for the katan. So therefore, the other brothers have the ability, assuming they're of age, to impact here, even in the beginning of the sof, by mamar. Aval bia, when it comes to the action of bia, posel tafilu bisof, it affects no matter what. That doesn't mean whether it's the 9-year-old in one day, whether it's the other brothers who are of age, whether they do bia first, or they do bia at the end, they can impact over here. Now, obviously, if one of the older brothers did bia in the beginning, and that through that consummated the yibum, then she is his wife fully, and then any of the other brothers that act after that, there's no meaning to it. That's what's enachar bia klum. After bia, there's no impact because he's already his wife. But if the katan had acted, and then one of the brothers had bia, he will disqualify it from her. Or if one of the other brothers, the older brothers, had performed ma'amar with her, and then this Teisha Shanim Yom Echad comes and have Bia, he will also disqualify it. So Bia has an impact both in the beginning and the Sof for the Katan. And for the other brothers, if it's in the beginning, that's a consummation of the Yibum. If it's afterwards, then it can disqualify one of the other brothers' actions, including that of the Katan. Ketzad, what's the example? Now, based on this, Rashi says the example is referencing this last line, which says that Bia affects both in the beginning and the end. Ben Teisha Shanim Yom Echad Abal Yivimto Pasal Ayidei Achirim. He causes problems for the other brothers. That's even in a case where the other brother performed mamar before he did this. His bia will be impactful. So we see bia affects both in the beginning and the end for the ben teisha shanim v'yom echad. Mara says, umi itlei mamar klau, ayidei achim. Since when does this ben teisha shanim v'yom echad have mamar at all? An ability to do mamar. And beyond his ability to do mamar, how can he infect the other brothers if his mamar is meaningless? So you reworded the Mishnah to say that the difference between the 9-year-old in one day and the other brothers is that he has mamar in the beginning, and they have mamar in the beginning and the end. But that suggests that he has mamar at all. Since when does he have mamar? He's a katan. Mamar is a replacement for kiddushin, and kiddushin has a katan he cannot affect. So then why can he affect mamar over here? So Tanya, don't we have a bright that explicitly says that the 9-year-old in one day doesn't have that impact? He has only one thing that can cause the other brothers to be disqualified from this yivama, and the achim poslim ayido b'arba advarim. The other brothers have four methodologies for disqualifying either each other or this ben teisha shanim v'yom echad. Hu posel yidei achim b'viyah. The only action that he can take that is effective here and will cause problems for the other brothers is biyah, is intercourse. Bachim poslim ayado bibiyah b'ma'amar b'getu b'chalitza. Since they are both of age and their biyah counts, those brothers can affect through biyah, but they also can affect through activities or actions that a gadol can take, including ma'amar, ged, and chalitza. Again, we've seen this all earlier in the Masechta, that in instances where the yavam, who now wants to marry this yavama, acts in a way that is not the consummation of the ibum min haTorah, which is bi'ah, he can do ma'amar midrabanan, or he can do chalitza, or he does, gives a get, all of these issues cause problems for the other brothers. If he does chalitza, then midoraita, he's already disqualified this woman. If he gives a get, that disqualifies her mid the Rabbanan, and then if he does ma'amar with her, it qualifies her for himself, the Rabbanan, but supposed to sell for the others, mid the Rabbanan. So all these actions or activities have impact when the Gadol does them. Now, it can have impact not only in the beginning, but later on in the process. So that if someone, one brother did ma'amar, and then another brother steps in and does ma'amar, they disqualify each other. In the end, that ruins it for everybody, and the same will be true if one brother did ma'amar and the other one gives a get. All of these things disqualify the woman or the Yavama from marrying any of the brothers. But what you see here clearly from the Braita is that the only effective tool that the 9-year-old in one day has is Biyah. And for obvious reasons, he's a Katan. So none of the other things are meaningful for a Katan. But Biyah, where the Torah says that a Biyah of a Ben Tishishin V'yom Echad has impact, over there he's able to act with Biyah. So where it says, Biyah de Pasla Ben Betchila Ben Besof Psikole. No, the case is that things that work all the time, that's what that Tana mentioned. That Bright is only mentioning things that work all the time. When it comes to Biyah, Biyah works any time that the 9-year-old in one day has Biyah, whether it's in the beginning or in the middle of the process, he affects with that Biyah. That's why he listed that name. Mamar. Mamar, which only works b'tchila, pasil, b'sof, lo pasil, lo psikole. Since when you said Mamar, you'd have to qualify that statement and say for this Katan, this Ben Tesh Hashanim, Yom Echad, Ma'amar only works when he's the first one to perform Ma'amar. Otherwise, his Ma'amar is not impactful at all. Therefore, he didn't write it, because he wasn't qualified. He's not going to qualify it. He was saying things that are definite. Bia always works for a 9-year-old in one day. All the other four things work for the older brothers. It's true that Ma'amar also works in the beginning for this brother, but that's something that would have to be qualified, and therefore the Tana skipped it in the Braita. But he believes, like our Mishnah, that Ma'amar does work in the beginning for a 9-year-old in one day. Itmar Nami, we have an Amoraic statement that supports this. I'm reviewed on Mashmol, Yesh lo get. V'chein amar av tachlifa bar avime, Yesh lo ma'amar. So Shmuel says that a 9-year-old in one day has the ability to give a get, and it's posel, assuming that it's done b'tchila, he's the first one to act. And Rav Tachlifa says that he has ma'amar. Now Tosafot over here makes an interesting distinction. He says, the one who holds that he has a get, then he would definitely hold that he ma'amar works. So Shmuel says he has a get, we'll also say that Ma'amar works. On the other hand, Rav Tachlifa by Abdimi, who says that Ma'amar works, would not say that necessarily a get works. And that is because Ma'amar is connected, in a sense, to Biyah, the positive relationship with the Yivama. And since Biyah for a 9-year-old in one day has impact, therefore the Ma'amar also has impact. On the other hand, get is similar to Chalitza. By Chalitza, everybody agrees that a Katan cannot perform Chalitza because you need Ish. You need someone who's of age. And therefore, since he can't perform chalitza, he also cannot effectuate with a get or affect the woman with a get. That will be the position of Rav Tachlifa bar Rav Yimeh. He'll say ma'amar works because it tracks with bi'ah, whereas get does not work because it tracks with chalitza. On the other hand, Shmuel, who says that he even has get, he certainly would say that he has ma'amar. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a braita that supports that. Yesh lo get, v'yesh lo ma'amar, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that a Katan has the ability to act with a get or a ma'amar. Again, we're assuming that he does that up front. That's the first thing he acts with. That will have an impact on the Yavama, either designating her to be for him specifically. If he consummates with Biyah, then she'll be his quote-unquote Yavama. And then once he becomes of age and stays with her, that'll make it into a marriage d'oraita. On the other hand, if it is a get that he gives her, he will disqualify her, and then she will need chalitza either from one of the other brothers or from him when he comes of age. If he performs either of those activities, ma'amar get, after one of the other brothers has acted, that will not have impact, because it's only b'tchila that it has impact, not in the middle. So Mar says, v'savar Rabbi Meir yesh lo get? Does Rabbi Meir really believe that a get is effective by a 9-year-old in one day? V'atanya, asu biat bentesha ke ma'amar bigadol. This is the underlying principle to everything that we have said until now, which is that the bi'ah of this 9-year-old in one day, which is a bi'ah, the Chachamim made it the equivalent of ma'amar, which means that it has acquisition properties mid the Rabbanan. Just like ma'amar, which is kiddushin the Rabbanan, works in terms of designating the Yavama, but does not close the deal to make her into his wife for a gadol, so too by a katan who acts with bi'ah, he's the equivalent of giving ma'amar to this woman. So anytime ma'amar would be effective, so too bi'ah of this katan would be effective. So number one is in the beginning, it would designate the one from him and be posel all the other brothers from interacting with her. Or if he has bi'ah after one of the other brothers has acted, then if ma'amar would be effective in that case to be posel the brothers, then his bi'ah would be posel the brothers. Rabbi Meir Omer, asu chalitza bentet get bigadol. So Rabbi Meir says that they made the chalitza of a youngster, of a 9-year-old in one day. Again, you need an ish. So it's only midrabanan. But midrabanan, they made it the equivalent of a get by a gadol. Now, if you say it's the equivalent of a get by a gadol, that implies that it's not like his get, because he doesn't have a get. He doesn't have the ability to give a get. The fact that Rabbi Meir compared it to a get bigadol, then that indicates to us that a bentesha shanim v'yomechad does not have the ability to give a get. And that's what the Gemara says. Vim ita litne kikito. Why doesn't he write like his get? Why does it say like a get of a gadol? Again, Tosafot points out the difference between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir's position over here. He says, Omari, to Rabbi Meir, yesh lo chalitza v'kosh kein bi'ah. Rabbi Meir, who says that chalitza works for the katan, it works dirabonon, like a get of a gadol, then certainly he believes that bi'ah has effectiveness. Of other rabbonon, dafka bi'ah yesh lo, aval chalitza ein lo. They say only bi'ah works, but chalitza does not work at all. So bi'ah, according to Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, is like ma'amar by gadol, and chalitza for Rabbi Meir is like a get by gadol, and for the Chachamim, chalitza is not effective at all. Similar to the distinction we saw before, that if you hold that the get works, or you were thinking that chalitza works, midrabanan, certainly you're going to think bi'ah works. And then if you think bi'ah works, doesn't mean that you're thinking that chalitza will work. So Amar Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua, itlei vizutar. So he says, no, he has a get. According to Rabbi Meir, he does have a get, this youngster, but it is a lower level than a gadol's get. So here you have different levels. You have get of a gadol, which for a katan, this ben tesh shanim v'yomechad, his chalitza will equal the get of a gadol. But then this ben tesh shanim v'yomechad also has a get that he can give, but his get is on a lower level. What's the nafka mina about that? That is the Rabbi Gamliel, damar in get achar get. When Rabbi Gamliel says you can't bring another get after a first get, if one of the brothers gave a get, then the next brother who gives a get, it has no impact over here. Bigadol achar gadol. That's only true if a gadol does it after a gadol, or a katan achar a katan, because they're giving the same level get. Since they're giving the same level get, whatever the first one did is complete. And whatever the second one's trying to do, he can't do because the first brother already did it. Of a gadol achar katan. But if you have a gadol give a get after a katan, mahani, it will impact. Because over here, the katan only has limited power with his get. And the gadol's get has more power. And since it has more power, it will be effective even after the katan's get. Ule rabbanon, da amar yesh get achar get. According to the rabbanon who say there is a get achar get, hani mele be gadol achar gadol. That's true when you have a gadol after a gadol. Or katan achar katan, then there's a get achar get. Both brothers are impacting with their get. Aval katan achar gadol. If a katan tries to give a get after a gadol already give a get, lo mahani. It doesn't have impact because the katan's get is on too low a level. It can't match up to the first brother's get, which was a get of a gadol. And that's the nafkamina in Rabbi Meir's shita as to why he mentioned that the chalitza of this ben tisha shanim yorachad is like a get of a gadol, because the get of a gadol is on a higher level than the get itself of that ben tisha shanim yorachad. So therefore there are three levels here. There is dirabanan. Dirabanan levels include ma'mar and get for a gadol. And for a katan, according to the chachamim, that includes bi'ah. In a katan being ben tesh shanim v'yom echad, that effective with bi'ah. According to Rameir, that is the same level as bi'ah and chalitza for ben tesh shanim v'yom echad. Then you have things that are effective d'oraita. That is a gadol with bi'ah or chalitza. And then you have things that are even midrabanan on a lower level. And that is the get of a katan, according to Rabbi Meir. Get of a katan, a ben tashim yom echad, is on a lower level. That's the last level. So these are the three different levels that are created in Rabbi Meir's opinion. But we do see, based on that Rabbi Meir does believe that there is a concept of get by a ben tashim yom echad, and that's what Shmuel is saying, that there is such a concept there. Whereas Rav Tachlifa bar Vimei says, mamar yes, but get no. Right now the Gemara moves on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah says, ben tesh shanim yom echad, shebal yivimto. He had relations with his yivama. V'char kach bale achiv shu ben tesh shanim yom echad. And then afterwards, another one of the brothers, who's also a minor, but over the age of 9 years and one day, he also has beer with her. Posel al yado. He ruins it for the first brother. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo posel. Rabbi Shimon says he's not effective in being posel. The difference in their opinions is how the bi'ah of a ben teshinim yom echad works. For Rabbi Shimon, it's a safek. Either it works entirely, or it doesn't work at all. So the Gemara will explain that, and therefore miman of shoch, according to Rabbi Shimon, the first one is okay here. Because either his bi'ah was a full bi'ah, if that's the case, then the second one's bi'ah was meaningless. Or his bi'ah is meaningless, if his bi'ah is meaningless, so is the second one's bi'ah meaningless, and therefore the first one can stay with the yivama. On the other hand, the Tanakamo believes that the bi'ah is not either 100% or 0%, it's a middle ground. The bi'ah of the Teitin Teshu Yom Echad is Kemamar, which leaves him in this quasi-state, Midrabanan, and because of that, the first one never completed whatever he could, and then the second one comes and does that, he ruins it for the first one. Now, ben teshu shanim yom echad shebal yivimto, he had relations with his yivama, v'achar kach bal tzareta, and then afterwards he has relations with another one of the co-wives, posel yidei atzmo, he ruins it for himself, again for the same reason that his mamar with the first yivama, and then the equivalent mamar with one of her co-wives, creates the problem. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo posel, again for the same reason, either the first bi'ah was so effective that it doesn't matter that he had bi'ah with the co-wife, or it wasn't effective at all, and therefore the bi'ah with the co-wife also was not effective and has no impact over here. Tanya, Amar lem Rabbi Shimon l'chachamim, im bi'ah rishona bi'ah, if the bi'ah of the first one is a real bi'ah, bi'ah shniyah ina bi'ah, then the second brother that comes and acts here is meaningless because the first brother consummated the yibum already. If you tell me the bi'ah of the first brother, the ben teshim yom echad that acted, has no impact, then bi'ah shniya nami ena bi'ah. Then the second one's bi'ah also has no impact, and she can remain with the first one. Where it says, matnitin deloki ben azai. Our mission is clearly not like ben azai. The Tanya, ben azai omer, yesh mamar achar mamar, b'shnei yevamim v'yama achat. He says there is mamar achar mamar when you have two brothers and a single yevama. Because over there, each brother has a zika to this yivama. Since each one of them has a zika with her, each one of them can perform mamar with their zika. And because of that, they can be posel each other. Vein mamar achar mamar b'shtei yivamot v'yavam echad. But when you have two women and one yavam, there the zika is to one of those women. It doesn't that this one individual doesn't have a zika to both of them. Whatever he has one power of mamar. Once he exercises that power of mamar with one of the women, it's gone. And he can't now exercise it with the second woman. If you remember earlier in the Masechta, there actually is a machloket rishonim as to the girsa here in Ben Azai. This girsa follows the girsa of Rashi, and that's the lashon rishon that Rashi brings earlier in the Masechta. Over there he brought a lashon acharon, which was just the opposite. That in the case where it's two brothers in a single yevama, that there's only one zika and it's all used up. Whichever brother acts first uses it up. On the other hand, where it's one yavam and two yavamot, then the zika exists on each one of the wives, and that one yavam can exercise mamar with both of them, and would turn out to be the exact opposite conclusion of what we say here in our Gemara. Either way, Ben Azai cannot be the author of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah talks about a case of Ben Tetshanim Yom Echad that has bi'ah, which we saw before is the equivalent of mamar, and we see there in our Mishnah that one brother acts, and then the other brother acts, and then there is mamar achar mamar, when you have two brothers and a single yivama. But then we also saw the case where one brother acts with two of the women, with the yivama and her co-wife. And there we see it is also effective. And here it's mamar achar mamar. So either lashon that you have, the Mishnah gives an example where there is one yivam and two yivamot, or a case where there is two yivamin and only one yivama. In either of those cases, the Mishnah says there is mamar achar mamar. In our Mishnah, it's called Biav Ben Tet V'Yom Echad, but it's still called Mamar Machamar. Either way, that is not like Ben Azai, and that's what the Gemara is saying here, that the Mishnah is not like Ben Azai. Again, the Lashon that we have here follows the explanation of Rashi and the Lashon Rishon, that the Gemara is saying it doesn't belong in our Mishnah, because Ben Azai believes that Mamar Machamar only applies when you have two brothers in a single Yevama. But in a case where there's a single brother and two Yevamot, there's a Yevama and her co-wife, in that instance, there is no Mamar Achar Mamar. Again, our Mishnah says that Mamar Machar Mamar, or Biav Bentet, works in either of those cases. Next Mishnah. Ben Tisha Shanim Yevachad Shebal Yevimto Umeit. So in a case where this young man, who was 9 years and 1 day, had Biav with his Yevama, and then passed away. Choletzet Velo Mityah Bemet. She then has to get chalitza from one of the other brothers who are of age, because Dil Raita, she really hasn't taken care of the problem. Because Midir Abanan, this is like Mamar, but Mamar doesn't consummate, and the same would be true if a Gadol had performed Mamar with her. If he passed away, then one of the other brothers will have to either perform, will have to perform chalitza with her in order to discharge her Midir Raita. Now he cannot perform Biyah with her because the Mamar already disqualified her from all the other brothers. And same thing here. The Biyah of the Ben Tevi Yomachad, like Mamar, will disqualify her from the other brothers. Nasai Isha Umeit. If he marries a woman and dies, Arizub Tura. So if a Ben Teisha Shanim V'Yomachad goes ahead and marries a woman, his marriage is not Midoraita because he can't consummate. He's only a Katan. He can't have Kiddushin. So he can't have a real marriage. So then if he passes away before he becomes of age, his wife is not subject to Yibum because he was never married to the woman Midoraita. Now, as Tosfot points out over here, it's very interesting Tosfot, he says, V'afagav lo takinu rabbanan nisu'in the katan. As opposed to a ketana, where the rabbanan instituted kiddushin for the ketana and nisu'in for the ketana, that's not true by a katan. So how is this guy getting married to this woman if the rabbanan say that a ben tishanim yachad, they didn't grant them rights of kiddushin? V'omari daleka isura. It's not an isur. That if a ben tesh shanim yom echad gets married to the woman, it's not an isur. Even though there's no kiddushin or nisuin de rabbanan, nevertheless it's not an isur. And then he says, goes beyond that. Delo chashiva biatznut, u'mitzvah nami'ika. He says it may even be a mitzvah, the hasi isha livnu akatan. So we see the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that there is a mitzvah to take a wife for your son while he's still a youngster, because that will prevent aveira. So you see even there might even be a mitzvah. So even though there's no institutional marriage in the sense of a ben tishanim v'yom echad that gets married, nevertheless, the Ri says over here that it's not a sur, it's not biatznut, it may even be a mitzvah. Ben tesh shanim v'yom echad shebal yevimto. If you have a 9-year-old in 1 day that had a relationship with his yevama, umishi igdil nasa isha acheret. And then when he came of age, he married another woman, umeit, and then he passes away. Imlo yadat arishona mishi igdil. If he never has bi'ah with the Yivama after he came of age, then Arishana choletzit velo mitya bemet, then the first woman has to get chalitza and not Yibum because she still has the zika, the original husband or the original brother that married her and it was never discharged midoraita. So one of the other brothers will have to discharge that midoraita through chalitza. Vashnia, who is this man's wife for real because he married her after he was of age, then, O Chaletza, O Mityabem, the brothers can perform Chaletza or Yibum with her. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Miyabem Lezer Zoshi, Yiritzeh. You can perform Yibum with whichever one he wants. The Chaletz Lishnia, and then you have to do Chaletza with the other woman. Echad Shu Ben Tetchanim Yom Echad, Vechad Shu Ben Esrim Shloi Vish Te Sarot. Whether a child is 9 years old in 1 day, and obviously he's not of age because he hasn't come of age yet, he hasn't reached 13, or someone who has yet to reach puberty has the same din as a 9-year-old in 1 day, which is their biyah is biyah, but it doesn't have an effect to, they cannot affect things midoraita. They can't have kiddushin, they can't have nisuin. The last line here in the Mishnah we'll deal with in tomorrow's daf. But the other parts of the Mishnah now, the Gemara is going to discuss. Now, Rabbi Shimon's last piece here, in terms of why he thinks over here that either one of them can be choleitz or miyabeim, because he doesn't think there's a zika of shnei yivamim. He doesn't worry about that. And Rabbi Shimon argues about that earlier in the Masechta about this issue of Shnei Yivamim, if a brother performs Mamar and then passes away, and then that woman falls to the other brothers, can they perform Yibum with her? Or is she now disqualified because of the Zika that existed earlier, and then the Mamar, which makes it into a half Zika, does that work or not? So Rabbi Shimon over there doesn't have that problem, whereas the Chachamim do, and that's why they have different outcomes in our mission over here for the same reason. Which is, if you think there is Zika, then the Bia of this Ben Tetchanim V'Yom Echad creates a certain amount of Zika in there, and therefore the other brothers become disqualified, and that's why they're going to have Chalitza. On the other hand, if you don't think that that is a problem in terms of zikah or in terms of the relationship, then when the bet name has bi'ah with her, he does not disqualify her from the other brothers at a later date. And that's why he says, chalitza or yibum, you can take your choice with either one of these women. Obviously, you can't do it with both of them. Now, you can't discharge the women by marrying one of them because the first woman is really the wife of the original brother that passed away. And the yibum or chalitza that's being performed now is vis-a-vis that original brother, not the brother that was 9 years in one day. The woman that was married to the 9 year in one day, that's a separate marriage. And therefore, you can do yibum or chalitza with her, independent of the other woman. But he won't allow you, even though technically you should be allowed to, he won't allow you to perform yibum with both of them because they look like they were tzarot or co-wives at one point. And therefore, the optics will look bad if he marries both of them, or one of the brothers takes both of them as his yivamot, because even though they're coming from two of his different brothers, at one point, they looked like they were co-wives when they were married to this ben teshashanim b'yom echad. So Rabbi Shimon, again, allows the original brother's status vis-a-vis this woman to remain in place, even after Ma'amar. And therefore, when this bet teshashanim b'yom echad has bi'ah with her, which is the equivalent of Ma'amar, he doesn't change that fact. So when he passes away, the other brothers can act on that woman from the original brother's death, and they can do chalitza or yibum. His wife, who he married after he was of age, also they can act midoraita to do yibum with chalitza, independent of the first woman. Because of the optics, we won't allow you to marry both of them, but you'll have to perform yibum and chalitza separately because they're being thrown to the brothers through separate deaths. One of them from the death of the first brother, one of them from the death of the second brother, who was this ben teisha shanim v'yom echad. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rava. Hadu amur rabbanan zikat shnei vamim michlatz chalza yivumei lo yivama. When you have a zikah of two brothers on a single yivama, they have to do chalitza, not yibum. Lo teima echa diika tzara. That's not only true when there are co-wives here. Diika lemigzar mishum chalza, because there you have a mishum tzara, because there you have a reason to be gozer because of the co-wife. Dahocha. In our case over here, leka tzara. Even without a co-wife, michlatz chalza yivumei lo yivama. Over here, we still force chalitza and no yibum. So, for instance, over here, the first case in our Mishnah, which is ben teisha shanim v'yom echad, shebal yivimto. He has bi'ah with her. And then it turns out that he passes away before he comes of age. The other brothers who are of age are now demanded to perform chalitza with this woman and not yibum. Now, over here, there's no mention of a co-wife. She's the only wife here of the first brother that passed away. And when this youngster went ahead and made her into his yivama, that would have been it. That would have been fine. But now that he passed away, now we have to deal with her. No other co-wives. And despite the fact that no other co-wives, we allow the brothers only to perform chalitza, not yibum. As opposed to the case back in the, early in the Masechta, which was Arba Chaim that married Shalosh Achayot, and they got married. And then the problem arises where one of the brothers passes away, and then one of the remaining brothers performs ma'amar with her and then passes away. Then when she falls to the remaining brother, there she has a zikah of two yivamim on her. So maybe you would say over there, the only time you have to do chalitza is if there's a co-wife. Because if there's a co-wife, then it's going to look problematic. And because of the optics, we're going to force you to do chalitza. But if there's no other co-wife, perform yibum. Because mimanov shach, either she belongs to the first brother or the second brother. Mimanov shach, it should be fine. So there, why don't we say that? So Rava says that this takanat chachamim applies even when there are no co-wives. We only allow chalitza, no yibum. Even though earlier in Masechta we said the gzeiro was Shema Yomru Shtei Yivamot Bayi Bamechad Midyavmot, because otherwise it looks like two women that were married to one man both can have Yibam perform with them. Because of those optics, we would have disqualified it. But over here we don't have those optics. Maybe we wouldn't say that. Nevertheless, we still see that the gzeirat chachamim applies over here, and there's only a chalitza allowed and not yibum. Nasai shavamet tanina lahad the tan rabbanan. Our Mishnah corroborates what we saw in the Braita, which is Shoter v'katan shenasu umeitu. A shoter or katan who get married, whose marriages are not real marriages midoraita, nishotem p'turot min hachalitza min yibum. Their wives are exempted from yibum and chalitza because there was never really a marriage here, so therefore there's no necessity for a chalitza v'yibum. Ben teisha shanim echad mishik dil. V'yasu bi'at bentet k'ma'amar b'gadol. So let us say that the bi'ah of a bentet is the equivalent of a ma'amar b'gadol. V'titche tzara mi'yibum. And that should disqualify the co-wife from yibum over here. So why is it in the case that they have to perform chalitza with the first yivama that the ben teisha shanim v'yom echad married, but the wife that he married, Why is he allowed to then, the brothers are allowed to perform Yibum or Chalitza with her? Why doesn't it also disqualify the co-wife from Yibum? So in that case, where we said that his first wife, which was a Yivama, is only Chalitza can be performed with her, but the wife that he took after he came of age, there the brothers can do Yibum or Chalitza. Why is that? Why doesn't the Ben Tesha Yom Echad that has this Ma'amar with that first woman disqualify the co-wife? So Amarav, lo asu biyad bentet ki ma'amar bigadol. That's the case. It's just not the case. The biyad of a bentet v'yom echad is not equivalent to ma'amar, and that will solve your problems. Shmuel amar, asu v'asu. No. That is right. Biyad of a bentet v'yom echad is like ma'amar. V'chein amar b'yochan asu v'asu. So Mar says, v'asu. Okay, if that's the case, then why isn't there a problem in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Tanayehi, and it's a machloket Tanaim. Hach Tana d'Arba Achim, the Tana of the Mishnah of Arba Achim, which the Gemara here keeps bringing down to compare to our Mishnah because they're similar. Gazar Mishum Tzara. He says that when there's a co-wife in the picture, there's a Gzeira in place that says that if you do Chalitza with the woman that had Mamar because of the Zikat Shnei Yivamim, then the co-wife also has to have Chalitza performed with her. Veshmina b'Gadol. That's true by Gadol. V'uadin b'Katan. And even though he only mentioned a gadol in that Mishnah, he would say the same thing by a katan. Meaning that the mamar can be created two ways. Mamar can either be created through a gadol performing mamar, or through a biav, a katan, a ben teshin and yom echad. V'hai da amar gadol. So then why do you mention gadol if it's true by a katan? That would be a bigger chiddush to mention. Mishnah of a gadol kai. Because that's the context of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a case of a gadol. So therefore his example he gave by a gadol, but he would also say by a katan. V'hai tana da hochas virle. Our Tan over here says, Asu velo gazar. Yes, they made his ma'amar, his bi'av, ben tet v'yom echad, kim ma'amar, but they were not gozer mishum tzara. They didn't then disqualify the tzara, the co-wife, because of that ma'amar. Veshmina b'katan, he said the din here in katan, v'adin b'gadol, but he would say the same thing by gadol, the ma'amar v'gadol would not impact the co-wife that was there, that was the real wife. V'ayda kamar katan, so then why do you mention katan in the Mishnah here if it's true by gadol as well? So he says, "B'katan koi," because our Mishnah contextually is talking about a katan. Azal Rabbi Elazar Amad Shmaita Dabe Midrasho. Now, after this explanation was given by Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar went and repeated it in the Beit Midrash. V'lo Amra Mishmei the Rabbi Yochanan. He didn't say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Shama Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan got warned of that. Ikpid, and he was upset that he didn't say it over in his name. Olda Gabe Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi went to placate Rabbi Yochanan over his being distraught over the fact that Rabbi Elazar did not quote him. Amrlei lokach haya maseh b'beit Knesset shel Tveria. Wasn't this a case that happened in the shul in Tveria? And we saw this back in Eruvin. B'nagar sheyesh barosh glustera. Talking about a peg that has a rounded top to it, which is used as basically a pestle inside of a mortar to crush things, which would be asur on Shabbat. Shnechlubu Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi argued about whether that is considered to be something as muksa, or is not considered to be muksa. Are you allowed to use it to lock the door as a pin, or some way to lock the door on Shabbat? Or is it considered to be a kli shemlachto lisur that cannot be utilized in this case? So then, ad shekaru sefer Torah, they were so angered about their disagreement here, they ended up ripping a sefer Torah, b'chamatan, through their anger. Karu sakadatcha? You mean they intentionally ripped a sefer Torah? Elimah shenikra sefer Torah b'chamatan. Now, because of their anger and their disagreement, they were pulling on the Sefer Torah in each direction and tore. Not on purpose, not intentionally, but unintentionally it tore. Vayasham Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, and present at that event was Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Amar tmi'anim lo yeh beit Knesset zu avodat kochamim. I'm not surprised that this shul will not turn into be a place of worship of Arzara. V'chein hava. So then, that's what happened over there. Meaning that anger is not a good emotion to have. Anger here is very dangerous, because when you have angry and when you hold Hakpadot against each other, look what happened there. They ended up tearing a Sefer Torah, and that was prescient in making this shul turn into a place of Avodah Zarah, meaning that it was a Siman Ra. So over here, it's not worth getting angry. So when it says, Hader Ikpit Tvei, he says, now he got even more angry. After they came to try to placate him, Amar Chavruta Nami, they said, you're calling him my peer? Now Rabbi Loz is really a Talmid Chaver of Rabbi Yochanan, but he's clearly a Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan. And over here, Rabbi Amir Asi, you're comparing it to a case of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Elazar, who were peers. So now he says, oh my gosh, now they're calling Rabbi Elazar my peer. So it's even worse, so he got more angry. Olde gabei Rabbi Yaakov bar Yidi. So Rabbi Yaakov bar Yidi came in to placate him. Amar lei, kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe avdo, ken tziva Moshe et Yoshua. The way that Hashem instructed Moshe, Moshe instructed Yoshua. V'chein asa Yehoshua. And so that's what how Yehoshua acted. Lo hisir davar mikol asher tzivah Hashem et Moshe. He did not do anything less than what Hashem instructed to Moshe. V'chi al kol davar v'davar shemar Yehoshua yomer lehem kach amar li Moshe. So you think every time Yehoshua spoke in Torah, he said, this is what Moshe said, this is what Moshe said, this is what Moshe said. El Yehoshua Yoshev Doresh Tam. No, he taught Torah, or he gave instructions, or he gave Psach Halach in Torah. But Ko Yodim, Shet Torah To, Shel Moshe. And everybody knew that Yehoshua got the Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, by default, if Yehoshua is telling us about Torah, it's the Torah of Moshe. That's the default assumption. Vav Rabbi Lazar, Tamidcha. So too, Rabbi Lazar is the same way. Yoshev Doresh Tam. He goes and teaches Torah, but Kol Yodim Kishol Chayi, and everybody knows it's from you because they know he's your Talmid Muvhak. And therefore, when Rabbi Elazar says over Torah, the underlying assumption, the default assumption, is that it came from Rabbi Yochanan. So he doesn't have to specify it came from Rabbi Yochanan because everybody assumes that. So Rabbi Yochanan looks at the other Talmid who tried to be Mefayesim and says, "How come you don't know how to appease me or placate me like Ben Idi?" For Rabbi Yochanan, my time a kopid kulehai. Question is, why was Rabbi Yochanan so angry that they didn't say over his name? What's such a big deal that they didn't say over his name? Now we know that Rabbi Yochanan is a kapdan, because that ended up killing his chavruta Reish Lakish, and also possibly there was danger to Reish Lakish's son as well, before Rabbi Yochanan's sister pulls away the nephew, so that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hurt him. So we know that Rabbi Yochanan is somewhat of a kapdan, but still here, what was such a big deal? Tamar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, the reason is, my dichtiv, what is meant by the pasuk? Agura bo'alecha olamim. I will live in your tent, olamim, from multiple worlds. V'chiyav shalom adam lagur b'shnei olamim. How is it possible that a person lives in both worlds? If he's in the Beit Midrash Shalmalo, he can't be in the Beit Midrash Shalmato. If he's in the Beit Midrash Shalmato, he can't be in the Beit Midrash Shalmalo. El Amar David l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom, Yihi Ratzon Shemru Davar Shmua Mipi, V'olam Hazeh. If they say over, I hope they will say over words of Torah, my name, in this world. D'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan said over in the name of Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Kol Tamil Chacham, Shomrim Davar Shmua Mipi V'olam Hazeh. Anytime a chacham who they say over words of Torah in this world, siftotav dovavot bekever, his lips are quivering in the grave. I mean, it's as if he's still alive in this world, and that's how you have shnei olamim. Even though he's sitting in Yeshiva Shalmalo, still, because he's been quoted down here in Yeshiva Shalmato, it's as if he's still alive in the Yeshiva Shalmato, because his name is associated with the Torah, and that keeps him alive, as if he's still alive. Ben Zira, Nizira Maikara. Where's the pasuk that gives us evidence of this fact? It says in Shir Hashirim, V'chikech k'yena tov, holech l'dodei l'meshirim, dovev siftei yishenim. It is like either the smile or the palate of my beloved is like good wine that goes down straight, that causes the lips of those that are sleeping or those that have passed away to quiver. So the Gemara says here, k'komer shel anavim. It is like this basket of grapes, or this collector of grapes. The collection of grapes is where the grapes ripen to the point where they're ready to be pressed. And over there, they become very, very ripe. Ma komer shel anavim. And if you touch this bucket that has the grapes in them, kevin shemeniach adam etzbo alav, when you put your finger there, miyad dovev, the whole thing shakes. The whole thing quivers. It becomes like almost like a jelly substance. And therefore, if you touch one of the grapes, everything moves in there. Av tamidei chachamim, kevin shomim devar shemam bipihem. You say over words of Torah from them, bolam hazeh, this world, sifto dehem dovavot bekever. Their lips are quivering in the grave. And I would say is, I think the idea of the Gemara here is that a person who leaves a legacy of Torah behind, then in a sense, they really never passed away. Because when one person passes away, that's the end of their active life, their ability to contribute and to make a difference in this world. But if they contribute or they give over a legacy that will live beyond their own mortality, then it's as if they never died. And that's the same thing over here. When a Torah is taught by these individuals and that Torah will live beyond their mortal life, then it's as if they never died because their contribution, their legacy lives on beyond their actual lifespan. And that's what it means, if the Torah is continued to be said over in their names, it's as if they're still alive. And in a more Kabbalistic sense, you might even be granted credits. I mean, if the Torah of this individual continues to be learnt and taught after their death, then the credits to that individual will continue to accrue because his Torah is persisting beyond. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan was so makpid that they said it over in his name or said it properly in his name. Okay, I'm going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph.